Masechet Baba Mesi'ah Daf Yod Aleph. The main topic today is whether if someone acquires something through his courtyard, an item enters his courtyard, he wants to acquire it in that manner, does he have to be there near the courtyard, or can it work even if he's not around? So the Mishnah teaches, Ra'a otan rasin achar mesi'ah, achar sebi shavur, achar gozalot shelo parchu ve'amad, zachtali sadi zachtalo. Hayasabi Raskedarko, or Shu Gozalot Mafrichin, Vamar Zachtali Sadi, Lo Amar Kilum. If an owner of a field sees a bunch of people running after some lost item, like a deer that's has a broken leg, or pigeons that don't know how to fly yet, so these are items that are easy to catch. And the owner of the field, he sees, right, this deer entering into his field, and the whole bunch of people, everybody's trying to get to it first, because it's an ownerless item, so anyone who grabs it first will keep it. And then he sees it's in his field, and so he announces, I acquire it through my field. Then that works. So it's a combination of things. Number one, it's on his field. Number two, it's ownerless. Number three, because it has a broken leg, he can catch up with it. So if he wanted, since he's nearby, he can run and catch it physically. So therefore, he's announcing it, not necessarily because you always need to announce whenever you acquire something, but rather he wants to let the others know, listen, my intention is I am acquiring it. So don't bother running after it because it's already mine. So that case, it works. But if the deer is running normally, it doesn't have a broken leg, or there's pigeons and they know how to fly, and a whole bunch of people are running after them, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to reach them. And the guy who's nearby, and the deer is running through his field. And he says, "My field, I want my field to acquire that deer for me." He said nothing because he cannot catch up to it and his field is not enclosed. And so the law is, this is the main principle of this Mishnah, a courtyard can only acquire an item for a person if it's guarded. If it's not guarded, then just being on his courtyard cannot. So there's two ways that can happen. Either it actually has a fence around it, and so an animal, even a deer that runs fast, goes in into his fenced area, and he can close it in there. Well, then yes, that he would acquire it that in that way. Here we're talking about a field that's not enclosed, but if it's a slow-moving item that he can run and catch, then that's also fine. That's still called guarded, and he acquires it. But if it's an item that's running fast that he cannot get to, then his field cannot acquire it, and so the people running after it, well, you know, if they can catch up to it somehow or corner it, it'll be good luck to them. They can take it. All right, so that's the main principle. Only a guarded field can acquire an item for someone. Now, related to that, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'hu she'omed besad sadehu, the only case where a field can acquire an item for a person is if the owner of the field is also standing nearby. If he's far away, the field is not going to acquire it for him. Now we're going to ask a question and actually also bring a proof for Shmuel and see some other opinions that agree with Shmuel. So this is the main topic here. V'tikne le sadehu, d'amar Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Chanina, chesro shel adam kona lo shelo midaato. Wait a second. Why say that? Why are you saying he has to be there? Why can't his field acquire an item even if he's not standing next to it? After all, Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, a person's courtyard can acquire something for him even without him knowing. So he just, you know, he's somewhere else doing something else. He comes home and he sees, oh, what do you know? A deer went into my courtyard and the gate closed behind it. So it's secured. And even if he doesn't know about it, it works. It acquires. So the answer is hanem lebachaser mishtameret, avachaser she'ena mishtameret, yomed besad sadehu in I la la. Oh, now we clarify what with all the different scenarios. If it's a guarded courtyard, it has a fence and the thing can't go anywhere, then yes, everybody would agree. That's the law of Rabbi Chanina, and Shmuel would agree in that case also that if he's not there, yes, it will acquire it for him. But if it's an unsecured courtyard, there's no fence there, then he has to actually be there. Otherwise, it's not going to acquire it. And so if there's no fence, it's not secured, or there's holes in the fence and the thing can get out, then he needs to be there. And with Mishnah is also adding, he not only does need to be there, he also has to be able to catch it. But let's say it's like an immovable item, just some item that dropped there. So as long as he's there, okay, it's in my field. So he's guarding it. He's securing it. So him being there makes it into a secure field. But if it's an unsecured field, right, there's no fence and the owner is not there, then it does not acquire an item for him. That's what the law that Shmuel was teaching us. Good. Now that we clarified what he's saying, let's find a source. How do you know that a courtyard that is not guarded, if he's standing there, then it's fine. If he's not. I say guarded means secured. Secured in some way. If it's unsecured, has no fence, then he has to be standing there in order to make an acquisition through the courtyard. How do you know? From the following, Baraita de Tanya. Haya omed ba'ir. Ve'omer, yodea ani she'omer she'yesh li basadeh po'alim she'chachuhu lo yeheh shikha. Yachol lo yeheh shikha. Talmud omar ve'shachachta omer basadeh ve'shachachta ve'lo ba'ir. We're talking about this pasuk here that says if you go and you harvest your field and you forget a sheaf out in the field, you're not allowed to go back. This is a lo ta'aseh, right? Once you passed it, you're not allowed to go back and take it. Rather, here's a mitzvah ta'aseh. You have to leave it for the orphan and the widow, for the poor, for the stranger, so that Hashem will bless you. So this is a law of shichcha. Now we want to define exactly what the case would be, right? When do you forget? When do you remember? Who is it talking about? So it has to be forgotten by both the owner and the workers that are actually working in the field. So here's the scenario. If the owner is in the city, he's not near the field, but he says, oh, I know, I'm now remembering that there's a sheaf in my field that I know that the workers who are there forgot about it. But I didn't forget about it. Right now I'm remembering that when I was there, the idea is he was in the field, he saw that sheaf, and then he left. He didn't think about it, so he kind of forgot about it. And then when he's in the city, he remembers, you know what, there was a sheaf on the side there, and I noticed that the workers, they went the other way, and they forgot it, but I'm remembering it. And so since I'm remembering it, I want it to not be shichcha. I don't want the poor people to take it. I want to keep it for myself. So that's the question. If he does that, can it be that it will not be shichicha, that he in fact can keep it? This is the way of the Midrash to ask a rhetorical question first. And usually the answer is the opposite of it, right? So can it be that it's not shichicha and the owner can keep it? That's why the pasuk says, v'shachachta omer basadeh, basadeh v'shachachta. If you forget it in the field, meaning if the owner is in the field, but not in the city, it means something like the whole law of shichicha applies when the owner is there in the field and not in the city. Somehow meaning this line is not clear. The Gemara is going to clarify it, but it seems to mean that you can only call something forgotten if you're there and you have a possibility of knowing about it, but forgot about it and skipped over it. But if he's in the city altogether, then since there's no possibility of forgetting about it, because he's not even there to possibly know about it, then you wouldn't call it shichicha. So it means something like that, but let's clarify what this baraita means, and then we'll know what the proof is for the law of Shmuel. Hagufa kashya. This baraita seems to be self-contradictory. Amat yachol lo yeheh shichcha al mahaveh shichcha. Venasibla tamuda besadeh v'shachachta v'lo ba'ir. Al ma lahaveh shichcha. The self-contradiction is in the opening where it asks a rhetorical question. It says, in this case, when he's in the field and he's in the city, and the owner remembers when he's in the city, oh, I want to remember that thing, that sheaf that I believe the owners forgot about. So, and he says, I'm remembering it. Can it be that it will not be shichicha? So that's a rhetorical question. And the answer should be It will be shichacha. So it seems from the opening that it will be shichacha. And he has to have, yeah, it doesn't work. In this, remembering in the city doesn't work. He has to leave it for the poor. But then once the Gemara goes around and answers it and finds a derivation, so it says, oh, the law applies in the field, but not in the city. So that means it's not shichicha. The law of shichicha does not apply when he's in the city. So you don't leave it for the poor. He can keep it for himself. So this beraita is contradictory. We do not understand it. Ela lav hachika amar. This must be the correct interpretation. Basadeh shachuach mikaro have shichicha. Zachur ulbasof shachuach en shichicha. Mai ta'ama dekevan dekae gaba havia lecha sero vezachta le. If the owner is next to his field, and he forgot about it to begin with. While they were processing everything and harvesting, he forgot it from the outset. Well, in that case, he's there. He forgot about it from the outset, so surely he has to leave it there. That's the normal case. But what if he knew about that sheaf, right? He's as he's going through, right? He's checking everything. They're bundling it up, and he sees it. Oh, okay, this is mine. But then he forgot about it afterwards. So he had knowledge, but then forgot about it afterwards. Then that is not shichicha, because even though he wasn't thinking about it actively the entire time, because he recognized it, saw it, right? And he numbered it. Oh, this one, yeah, that's mine from the beginning. So then it's not forgotten. He doesn't have to have it in mind all the time. So then he can take it and the owner can keep it. Why? Because he is there, so it's in his courtyard. And his courtyard will acquire it for him. So this interpretation is saying that it's true. He remembered it in the beginning, then he forgot it. But then once he remembers it again and he's there, so then, oh, I want that thing. I want that sheaf. So since he's there, automatically becomes his because the courtyard acquires it for him. That's why it works when he's nearby. However, if he's in the city of Abair, afilu zachor basof shachua chavye shichecha, maitama delete gabe delizke le. If he's in the city, surely if he didn't remember, think about it the entire time until later, and if he didn't know about it even from the outset, surely that would be shichecha. But even if he knew about it at the beginning, right? He saw it when they were bundling it up. That's going to be mine. And then he forgot about it. But then when he was in the city, he said, oh, wait, I forgot about that one. Now I'm remembering. And he wants to now take it for himself. He cannot. Why? Because he's not there to acquire it. And his courtyard cannot acquire it on his behalf because he's not around. This is the proof for Shmuel that we see that you have to be, if you're nearby your courtyard can acquire something for you. But if not, not. We're talking about a field. Generally, a field would not be necessarily fenced in all the way around. So we're talking about an unsecured field. And this is exactly Shmuel's law. If you're there, your field can acquire the sheaf for you. If you're not there, they cannot acquire it for you, and you have to leave it for the poor. All right, so this seems like a good proof, but we're going to challenge it. Mimai, dil magezrata katub hi, debesadeh neve shichecha, ubair la neve shichecha. Wait, how do you know? Maybe this beraita is explaining that this is simply a Torah law, gezrata katub, that if the owner is at the field, then whatever he leaves there and forgets there is shichicha. But if he's not near the field, since he's not there to even possibly know about it, you can't call it forgotten. And maybe the whole law of shichicha does not apply when he's in the city. And maybe that's what this beraita is talking about, but it has nothing to do with Shmuel's law of acquiring it after having known and forgotten and then remembering again and acquiring it if you're next to it, but not next to it. No, that's not what the beraita is talking about at all. Maybe it means that there's no law of shichicha when the owner is in the field. But we say, no, that's not true. Amar ked ha-lo tashub lekachto l'rabot shichicha ta'ir. The pasuk has some extra words, all right? Don't go back and take it. It already says you have to leave it to the poor. So why do I have to say also, and don't go back and take it? So it must be that those extra words are including if someone forgot an item in his field while the owner is in the town. So we see that the law of shichicha does apply while he's in the town. And therefore, the beraita must be teaching us Shmuel's law. But we say, no, hai mi ba ele lelav. We need this. This pasuk is not extra to learn about the guy in the city. We need this to add a lav. Not only is it a misrat aseh to leave the item for the poor, If you go back and take that sheaf that you forgot, then you're violating a negative prohibition. Imken lamakeda lo tikachenu. He says, no, but there's still extra words. Because if it's just to teach a lav, the pasuk could have said, lo tikachenu. My lo tashuv, lerabot shechata ir. The extra word lo tashuv is teaching me that the law applies, that the law applies also in the city. And therefore, that braita is good for Shemuel. No, but these words, lo tashuv, is also not extra, because I need it for what we learn in a Mishnah in Pe'ah, that whatever is in front of the farmer is not shechicha, meaning as long as he's on his way, he has a path through his field that he goes and collects all the sheaves. So even if there's some sheaf that he doesn't see and doesn't know about it right now, if it's in his path, you don't call that shechicha, because he's going to get to it. On the other hand, if he has to go backtrack in order to get it, then that's what he's not allowed to do, to go back, and that's where shechicha applies, and that's where the lav will apply. So I need the word lo tashuv to teach me that. So actually, there are no extra words here. And continuing on that Mishnah, zeh hakilal kol shehu bebal tashuv shechicha, kol sheno bebal tashuv eno shechicha. The general rule is that anything that you have to go backwards to get, then that's called shechicha, and you have to leave it. But if you don't have to go backwards, it's on your way, wherever you're going to, planning to walk to collect the sheaves, then that's not called shechicha, whether you actively knew about that particular sheaf or not. So we need this pasuk, an entire pasuk, to learn all the various laws of shechicha. And this sustains the challenge against the proof for Shemuel, because maybe, in fact, the Sparaita is teaching that there's just no law of shechicha when the owner is in the city. But finally, we answer this challenge. Amar Rav Asher, Amar Keda Yihyeh Lerabot Shechicha Ta'ir. There's still an extra word that you didn't account for, and that's Lo Yihyeh. It's here in the Pasuk. So that comes to include when the owner is in the city, that it's just an extra word, and so the shecha applies even when he's in the city. Therefore, from the word yeh, we know that shecha applies to the city. Therefore, that braita must be teaching something else, that there's a difference in the outcome, whether the owner is in the near his field or near the city. What does this apply to? It applies to a case where he saw it, but then he forgot about it. But then he remembered it again, and so now he wants to reacquire it. Well, if he's next to the field, then he can acquire it through his field. But if he's in the city, he cannot acquire it, because you cannot acquire something through your field if you're far away. And that is exactly what Shemuel said. Good. So finally, we do have a good, a valid proof for Shemuel's law. And not only did Shemuel say it, he's a first generation Amora in Bavel. Vechen Amar Ula, Vehu, Sheomed, Besad Sadehu. Ula also, who is from Eretz Yisrael, a little bit later, second, third generation. But he often went to, traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. He agreed. Vechen Amar Abba Bar Hana, Shvehu Sheomed, Besad Sadehu, a later rabbi in Bavel. So they all say one's field can only acquire an item for him if it's an unsecured field, if the owner is standing nearby. All right, good. So far we have everybody in agreement. But now we're going to see a serious challenge from Rabbi Abba, who's challenging Ula. Ula, who we just saw, agrees with Shemuel. So the challenge is from a Mishnah in Masechet Maaser Sheni. Maaser b'Rabban Gamliel Luzikinim, Shiu Ba'in Basfina. V'amar Rabban Gamliel, Isur Shani Atid, Lamod Natun Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel and the other elders, his colleagues, were all traveling in a boat. Rabban Gamliel is often found traveling on a boat. He wasn't, after all, the Nasi, and therefore maybe he had to make diplomatic trips to go to Rome to meet with the emperor or whatever other diplomatic missions he had to go on. Anyway, he's often on a boat. And while he was on the boat, he realized that he has produce back home on his field in Eretz Yisrael, and he did not take maaser. And so there's a problem. So he wants to take maaser right there on the boat. Maaser Ishan has to go to a Levi, and maaser Ani has to go to poor people. So how's he going to do that? Well, luckily he had Rabbi Yoshua on the boat, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, who was a Levi. So he says, he announces, the maaser that I'm going to separate from my produce back home, I'll physically separate it, But whatever I end up separating when I get back home, I want to give to Yoshua, you on the boat, right? Thank you very much. And in addition, I can't. How am I going to get it to you? How am I going to effectuate this transaction now? I want it to happen now. So the place, the area that ma'aser is in, the land under that ma'aser, will be rented to you, right? And here's a coin. Or to be Yoshua, I gave Rabban Gamliel a coin, right, to rent out that area so we can acquire it, right? It seems he's acquiring it through owning the area where it is, right? Which we're going to assume right now is a Kinyan Hatser. He's acquiring it through a courtyard. Okay, ואיסור אחר שאני עתיד לעמוד נתון לעקיבא בן יוסף, כדי שיזכה בו לעניים מקומו מוזכר לו. And also for the maaser that belongs to the poor, I am also, whatever, when I get home, the tenth that I will measure out and separate from my produce, I am hereby giving to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva himself is not poor, but I want Rabbi Akiva to be in charge of distributing it to poor people. And how am I going to effectuate this transaction? Oh, I'm going to rent out to him the land that's under that area where that ma'aser is, and he receives a coin. And so now he effectuated this transaction. Now here's the challenge. V'chid Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva besad sadeh u'shel Rabban Gamliel hayu omdim, were Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva near the field, standing next to the field of Rabban Gamliel? They were not. They were on the boat with him. And so, assuming that they are acquiring the produce through the courtyard that they now own, right, that they now rent, you don't have to own it, you could rent it. So if you can do it through a courtyard, here the rabbis are not near the courtyard, and yet Rabban Gamliel knows what he's doing, that effectuates a transaction. So this proves against Shmuel and says that one can acquire something through one's courtyard even if the owner is not present. Good challenge. Amar le, dame haimer abanan kedela gamre inasher shemata. This question was asked by Rabbi Abba to Ula, and Ula gave a very sharp answer. He says, this sage seems like someone who never studied a halacha. He doesn't even know basic halacha, and Ula didn't give him the time of day, didn't even give him the consideration of answering him. He just said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're Amar Aretz. You never learned a halacha. And that's it. Walked away. Wow. So it seems to me like a good question, but Ola did not think it was a good question, not worthy of answering even. So to be Abba stuck, he still doesn't know the answer. So he got to Surah, he got to the Bet Midrash, and he said, listen, this is what Ola said. He agreed with Shmuel that an unguarded field cannot acquire unless the owner is there. I challenged him from this story about Rabban Gamliel. I don't know what the answer is. What do you guys think? Amar le ha'u merabanan. Rabban Gamliel metaltele agav mekarka'e hikna lahem. Rabbi Zera kibela, Rabbi Abba lo kibela. So one of the students there in Surah explained, Rabban Gamliel was not trying to effectuate an acquisition through something being in the courtyard, right? That is something that is put into your courtyard, you can acquire. That's not what he was doing. He was using a different kind of kinyan called kinyan agav. Kinyan agav means if I sell you land, while I'm selling you land, I can add also, while I'm included in this transaction, also these movable items. There's a machloket whether the movable items have to be on the land that I'm giving over or selling, or even off the land. Let's say it's on the land. In this case, it happens to be on the land. Now that seems to be the point. So it's as follows. Rabban Gamliel is saying, here, I am renting you the land, and then agav, while the land is going to you, it's not as a courtyard. See, this can only be done when you're transferring the land. But Rabban Gamliel is transferring the land right then. So he says, kinyan agav, and he gets it as well. That's why it works. But in fact, Shmuel is right. If he was trying to use a kinyan through the chatzer, then it would not work because they're not there. So that's why there's no question. And then maybe that's what Ula meant when he said, you don't know basics. You don't know what a kinyan agav is. This is a basic halacha. Figure it out. Okay, so that was the answer that one of the sages gave. Rabbi Zera accepted that answer, made a lot of sense. But Rabbi Abba still did not accept that answer. Why not? Why did Rabbi Abba say, agree that it can be a kinyan agav? Amar Rava, Shapir Avid la kibela, v'chi lo haya lahem suda liknot menu b'chalifin. Rabbi Abba didn't explain to us why he didn't accept it. But Rava later on explained what Rabbi Abba was thinking. And he says, it's Rabbi Abba was right for not accepting that answer. After all, if it's just that they wanted to do a simple kinyan, what, did they not have a handkerchief to use to do kinyan chalipin? Instead of having to rent out the land, you don't have to do that. You can just do a kinyan chalipin, and that works. That works anywhere. If I want to transfer to you something, so I could just have you give me a handkerchief, and then we do the symbolic exchange. So Rabban Gamliel, he could have given to Rabbi Yoshua a handkerchief and said, "Here, accept this handkerchief," and or the other way around, Rabbi Yoshua would give Rabban Gamliel a handkerchief, and Rabban Gamliel would say, "Right, I accept this handkerchief, and in exchange, I am giving over transferring to you the tenth that of the produce that belongs for Ma'aseh Rishon that I will separate eventually." So you could have done that easily. Rather, why didn't they do a kanyan chalipin? There must be a good reason. Ela tova tana'a ena mamon liknot mimenu b'chalipin. Because you can only do kinyan chalipin if something I own and I want to transfer to you. So then you give me a handkerchief and I give you the thing that I own. Ma'aser is not really owned by the farmer. Ma'aser is automatic. You have to give this. And so therefore, the only thing that the owner can give is the privilege of giving it to you, Levi, instead of the other Levi. That's what the prerogative of the owner is, that he can decide. But it's really not his, that it's not his property. And therefore, you can't use a standard transaction to transfer ma'aser. You have to give it over by hand because it's not his to give. And that's why he could not use kinyan chalipin. And just like he could not use kinyan chalipin, hachanameh tovatanana enam amonik, not agabe karka. You can also not use kinyan agav in order to transfer the privilege of giving it to this levy instead of that levy. It's not the owner's property that he could possibly give it over through kinyan agav. And therefore, Rabbi Abba said, no, it was not kinyan agav, because if they could use kinyan agav, they would have used kinyan chalipin. Rather, this was had to be a transfer that had to be into the hand of Rabbi Yoshua. Now, Rabbi Yoshua is not, he doesn't have the ma'aser there to put it in the hand of Rabbi Yoshua, but a courtyard is like a hand. And therefore, he said, you know what? I want you to rent out my land over there. Right? Give me a coin. I'm renting you and renting to you an area of my field. And now you will acquire it through it being in your courtyard, which is the same as it being in your hand. And so you see that a kinyan through a courtyard can be accomplished even if the owner is not there. And that's the challenge to Shmuel. And that is Rabbi Abba. That's why Rabbi Abba did not accept the answer that they gave in Surah. And Rabbi Abba seems to have a really good question, and we still don't know why did Ola reject it out of hand. So we'll give a couple of explanations. Velohi matenot kehuna netina ketiva behu chalipin derech mekachu mimkarhu mitaltilin agav mekarka netina alim metahi. So Rabbi Abba, Rava here, Rava's comparison of kinyan chalipin to kinyan agav is not a correct comparison. Why? Because regarding gifts that you have to give to a kohen, Torah says you have to give it. So it has to be a netina. That's why chalipin doesn't work. Chalipin is only for buying and selling, where each party is getting and giving something. Kinyan chalipin is not good for as a gift. You can't sell. If I have to give terumah to a kohen, I can't sell it to him. I can't get any benefit from it at all. It has to just be a gift. I can't accept a coin for it. And therefore, kinyan chalipin, I'm giving him the terumah, but he's giving me a handkerchief. It's not the proper way to give a gift. And therefore, that's why chalipin didn't work, and that's why they didn't use kinyan chalipin. However, agav, kinyan agav, that's fine, because if I'm giving you a field, I can give you also the ma'asit teruma or ma'asir agav the field. That is a form of giving. That's okay, right? And even though he doesn't own it, the owner doesn't really own the ma'asir, but it's okay. He just has to use a form of acquisition that can be used for giving and not barter that's used for giving and taking. So in fact, kinyan agav would be totally fine, and that's exactly what Rabban Gamliel did, and that's why Ula is right. Ula said, "What, you don't know what kinyan agav is? It's not even worth me taking the time to answer your question." And so Shmuel and Ula are upheld. Rabban Gamliel did kinyan agav, and kinyan agav can work to give ma'aser, but the kinyan chalipin couldn't, and so that's why they use kinyan agav and not kinyan chalipin. That's one answer. Another answer. Rapapa amar. Dat acheret makna otan shanem. Rapapa says there's a difference between finding a lost item, between acquiring something from the owner who wants to give it to you. If Shmuel's law applies to a mitzi'ah, you have this wild deer that's ownerless, or that someone lost it and he gave up and there's no identification. And so if you have a case like that where there's no one giving it, then you need a courtyard that's secured, or you need the owner to be there and be able to catch the deer. So in order to acquire an item that's ownerless, the owner needs to be there to be aware of it and be able to secure it. That's where you need the owner to be there. However, if there is another person that's giving it over, selling or giving it, then as long as he puts it in your courtyard, even if it's an unsecured courtyard and you're not there, it works. And so that's exactly what the case of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua wasn't acquiring something from Hefker, he had Da'at Makna. The Rabban Gamliel actively giving it over to him. And so he said, listen, first of all, here's the field. And second of all, you acquire the acquire it in the courtyard. So according to the Papa, in fact, it can be done as a courtyard. It doesn't have to be Kinyan Nagav. He might agree with Rava, Kichalipin and Nagav are not strong enough to work for giving Ma'aser. It has to be put in the hand. And this is the same, putting it in the hand, putting his courtyard. And because as a giver, even if the owner is not there, that's okay. And Shmuel can agree with that. Uminat Timra. Now, this law that if you have another person giving something over, then it can be done in the courtyard, even without the owner there. What's your source for that? Ditnan. Ra'otan rasin achar ha-metziyah. It's our Mishnah. Ve'amar b'Yirmiyah, amar b'Yochanan, hu sheras achar ha-henu magi'an. Ube'er b'Yirmiyah, b'matana he'ach. Kibela mine Rabbi Abba Bar Kana af al pi sheras achar ha-hen ve'en magi'an. Mai ta'ama, lav mishum ledat acheret makne otan shane. Our Mishnah taught that if some people are running after a deer and the owner goes into the owner of a field, and the owner of the field sees it and says, "I want it, right? My field acquires it for me." Then, as long as it's has a broken leg, and he can catch it, then he acquires it. Now, about this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan clarified and said, "That's if he could run after it and get to it." So meaning even if it's a broken leg, that by itself maybe could still go faster than the owner can. So the point is of the broken leg is that he has to be able to reach it and catch it. So that way it's secured, right? He has to be there and be able to secure it in order to for his field to acquire it. Good, that's the halacha we know. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah asked a question about this ruling. What about as a gift? What about not a wild deer running that has no owner? What if it's someone that owns a deer and wants to give it as a gift to someone else? Can he bring it, let it loose in the other person's field, and then can the receiver of the gift acquire it thereby? Does he have to be able to run after it, or is the halacha different? Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, different Rabbi Abba. Heard this question, and he said, even if the owner is running after it and cannot reach it, it's still okay, right? He doesn't have to, he can still acquire it, even if the deer is faster than him. That's okay. Why? What's the difference between a gift and a lost item? Is it not because that there is another person who wants to give it over? So as long as you have a giver who has his competence and says, "I want to give it to you," then you need a lower level of a transaction. And even as long as it's on this field, he says, "I got it," right? And even if it runs out after, that's okay because the giver gave it over. But if there's no one giving it over, then you need a stronger transaction and you need to be able to actually catch it and have a secured field. So isn't this a good proof that if there's another person there, just like Rabban Gamliel on the boat, he wanted to give over the maased, and that's why the owner didn't have to be there, and it could be unsecured. We have a challenge to this rule because look at a get. The law regarding a husband giving a divorce document to his wife is there is a makne. The husband wants to give this and he wants to make an acquisition that his wife will get it. And yet Ula said that if the husband, instead of putting it in her hand, throws it or puts it into her courtyard, it only is effective as a get if she is standing nearby, near the house, if he throws it into the house, or near the courtyard, if he throws it into the courtyard. So you see that here, even though there's that makna, nevertheless, the receiver has to be there. So this seems to go against the principle you just taught. But we answer, shana get, ite ba'al kolche. But no, a get is different from a gift, because a get, the husband can give even against her will. Whereas a gift, if someone says, I reject the gift, then you can't give a gift to a person that rejects it, right? If you don't accept delivery, then you don't get it. So the cases are different, so you cannot compare them. But this answer does not make sense. There's a kavah chomer here, if regarding a get, where she has to receive it even against her will, and yet the receiving only works if she's standing next to her house and or next to her courtyard. And if she's not standing there, no, then a gift that a person only receives with it willingly, all the more so that they would have to be there and be present, otherwise it wouldn't work. In other words, a get should be easier to make a transaction to a get where you don't need her willingness. A husband can forcibly give a get to his wife even though she is rejecting it. That's the halakha medeoraita. Now there's a darabanan later that she has to also be willing to receive it. And then for that reason, you do have sometimes the law of agun, a husband who cannot remarry because his wife refuses to receive a get. Happens less often than an aguna, but it does happen in many cases. That's a drabanan, but medoraita, he can force it upon her, and yet, even though it's forced it upon her, she has to be there, all the more so with a gift where she needs her acceptance, that should be more difficult. So all the more so, it shouldn't work if she is not there. So this is now again a challenge to that rule that if there is a makneh, a person whose mind is giving it over, then it can be done without the person there. Ela amar Rav Asher chaser itrebay mishum yad velagad amishilichut gabe get dechov hula en havin ladam ela befanav gabe matanaz dezichutu lo zachin ladam shelo befanav. Even though we said that a courtyard is included as an extension of one's hand, that's true, right? We saw that discussion before. And nevertheless, it also has an aspect of it being like an agent, and it shouldn't be any worse than an agent. So what's the comparison? Regarding a get is detrimental to a wife. Now, sometimes a wife wants a get, it's true. But just in terms of financially, while a woman is married, she's guaranteed to get food, clothing, and shelter as the conditions of the ketubah. That's a legal obligation. She can go to court if the husband is not providing for her daily needs. So she has lifetime security, everything as long as he's alive and they're married, she has secure financial security. And now by receiving a get, she's agreeing to have that funding stopped. So this is a financial detriment to her. And we have a rule that a shaliach, person acting as an agent for someone, cannot do something detrimental for the person unless the person is present and agrees to it. Whereas you can do something beneficial for a person without that person's knowledge. privilege. Like, if the person's not around, I see a watch and I take it, I pick it up. Oh, my friend would like it. I pick it up for my friend. Since this is just a benefit. So then we can assume a benefit and I can do it on that person's behalf. But if I buy a stock on behalf of my friend, right? I say, oh, my friend, I think would like the stock. Yeah, but it could go down and then he would lose money. Then I'm going to say, oh, I bought this on your behalf. Yeah, but it lost money. So I can't do that. And then on his behalf, and the acquisition does not work. So here regarding Chatzer, it has an aspect of an agent, and an agent cannot do something that could be to the detriment of the owner. And that's why a chaser, a courtyard, will not acquire the get unless the woman is standing there and thereby indicating, I agree, it's okay, I don't want your fruit anymore, I agree, I want the get. Whereas regarding a present, a gift is a good thing, right? Everybody wants a gift. It's better than not having whatever it is, even if it's a cheap watch, better than zero watch. And so that is a benefit for a person. And that's why get is not relevant to this. It's not because get is be'al korcha. It's because the get, she has to be there because it's a detriment to her. That's why she has to be there. But if it's a regular gift, then since there is a dat makne, there's someone giving the gift, the owner does not have to be there. The courtyard can act as an agent on behalf of the recipient. So in conclusion, we see that Shmuel's halakha all the way from the beginning is confirmed, and we answered all the questions. The owner does need to be there in a case where the courtyard is unsecured, and it's an ownerless item that he's trying to acquire. So that you need a higher level of acquiring. You need the owner to be there because that's what secures it. So if you have a secured area with a fence around it and the item can't get out and people can't get in and take it, that's secured by itself. A courtyard like that can acquire something without the owner's presence, even if it's a lost item. But if it's not secured, then if it's a gift that a person is giving over and there's a dat makne, that's fine. He can put it into the courtyard even though the courtyard is unsecured and the owner isn't there because you have a giver. That's fine. That's the case of Rabban Gamliel. But if it's a lost item, or a hefked item that he wants to acquire and it's not secured, then the owner needs to be there in order to be the security in order to acquire the item. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.